Welcome, everybody, to the next episode of KXRW Sports Talk from the Cube. I am James L. Crockett. Alongside me is David Mace. And as always, the wireless one, Mike Koreski.
Thank you very much. And a couple of people here. We always have our trusty commandeer of this ship. Hopefully it doesn't go into the mountain. And that's Mr. Connor Flynn. Thank you for doing all that you do.
You're very welcome.
And a special guest tonight, a guest a person we all know really well because we work for him. So, well, and David's past tense now.
I don't think any of us would be here without him.
That is the truth. So it's Curtis Sugar Hill, our team market owner, head coach, and just about everything for the hometown Vancouver Volcanoes. How are you, sir?
I am great, man, and thank you guys for having me here.
It is great to catch up, and it is great to see all the Volcano gear you are sporting, because we talked about that last week as well. You've got the City Connect shorts, the hat that says the Couve, and where can they get the merch, by the way?
Yes, at VancouverVolcanoes.com, and under the merchandise tab.
All right.
And also at that Vancouver Pop Local as well, they're always pimping our merchandise.
Oh, yeah.
Well.
They got a nice little display there. All right. So, first of all, we'll get to Curtis. He'll be the star of this segment here pretty soon.
Talk about merch. Talk about wearing some gear.
Yeah.
You over there in the corner, Mike Koreski, you've got it on for the news of the day.
I had saved it. Damian Lillard is back in Portland. By the time you guys hear this, it might not be the new news, but it is new to us. So we have to bring it to you. So Mr. Lillard, and to me, and that's what I want to hear from all of you guys here in a second. I called him top two Blazers is kind of where I'm at with him. Honestly, he might be one to me, but he didn't get to the finals. So, but I'm him and Bill Walton. I'm kind of, because Bill Walton won the title, and Clyde made it to a couple. But I don't know. Damian Lillard, I think when he came to the team, what he meant to the team and the city and whatnot. And reading today his social media post when he left was just, it was heartwarming. He's like, you know, I hope you guys can get over this. You guys cannot be mad at me anymore and my heart can stop breaking. Something like that is what he actually said. I will come back. So here we are. So Curtis, what's your first reaction to that?
Man, I think it's great for the city of Portland that he returned. And, you know, I was talking to a couple of buddies today over the phone when we was talking about most famous Blazers. And I think I would put him number one most famous Blazer. Not best Blazer, but most famous, notable Blazer, like what he means to that franchise. Yeah. You know, like even when he was in Milwaukee, like, you know, his kids still go to school there. Like his family's still there. So, I
in
mean,
Portland.
He's, yes. And
yeah, none of the family went with him to Milwaukee. And he has like 23 family members.
Yeah. So, I think he embraces the city more than like a Clyde Drexler and everything. So that's why everyone falls like in love with him and stuff like that. And I mean, he's just a great dude and has all his businesses out there and all of that. So great news for Portland.
Well, and he proved putting his rap career together that you could do it from Portland. You could still have an outside interest, outside business. Yeah. And you could do it in Portland, because most people were like, you have to go to L.A. to do that or New York to establish these careers. And he didn't. He did it right here. CJ did it with the wine business. Of course, that lends itself in this area. But still, they both proved you could put together a life out here. Yep. Whereas people before were like, no, you can't do that. Yeah. You have to leave. So I'm going to go around the room. Sonny, what was your take about it?
Yeah, I mean, you talk about, you know, superstardom or, you know, to chase superstardom and chase those heights or to just chase championships, which Portland hasn't had legitimate shots at for quite a while now. Yeah. But we talk about a guy like Bill Walton or Clyde Drexler. People might look into that one, but they finished their careers elsewhere. They went and chased chips elsewhere.
Right.
Where Damian Lillard, he's going to get a chance for a little bit of healing as far as what that goes, where his impact into this area coming back when he's coming. And it's, he may not play this season at all.
Nope, not at all this year.
But it gives us that time to set things up for the years to come with a team that's coming on with the draft picks they've had, with the talent they've had on the court. Okay.
And then Connor.
Oh, man, it's just, you know, it hits home for me. I work at the Moda Center when I get union calls for the IOTSI crew, and I park in what I've been told is where he used to park with his EV Porsche.
Where I sneak in and park.
On a new parking
spot.
Well,
supposedly it's a community spot, but, you know, that's where he parks when he comes James in with his Porsche. Now. It's the only EV parking spot. But, yeah, I mean, I saw him play for them against the Suns. I don't remember what year. It was not a super eventful game, but I'm just, you know, it's the only Blazers, only NBA game I've ever seen live, and that was cool to see him play in person. And it's just, it feels great that he's coming back.
Yeah. All right, Macy?
Well, the first thing I think of is, you know, I'm excited for the city of Portland, you know, and the Blazers in general to get him to be able to come back. And what James brought up and the rest of the crew brought up, we are in that era of chasing that ring, and it's even more like that in this era more than even back then. So it's really kudos to him to really come back and be able to finish his legacy here as a Blazer, to help mold the young talent, the young backcourt that they have there as well. It's really exciting for the future. And also, it being a Cavs fan, it reminds me of like when we had LeBron come back and what happened there.
Totally.
We ended up winning a championship. So you never know.
Yeah, it's gonna mention LeBron.
Yeah, you mentioned LeBron. I mean, yeah. the first thing that came to my head when Milwaukee released him out of his contract was,
I thought that too, but I honestly thought it was
LeBron
a couple years away
Lillard.
Still.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to go ring chase for 2-3 years and then put it to bed here.
You know, and then I was thinking Luka, LeBron, and Lillard. You know, and that would have been a fit that could have worked out. But
it crossed my mind too.
This could be a good combination of, you know, of opportunities between both players.
And this is a good segue. A quick one here. We're up against the clock as we always are because we love talking.
Such
I don't know if you love listening, but we love talking. Summer League. So last time we had our last episode, Curtis, I'm sure you would have heard it, but you were on the road. Young Hansen. watching him in the Summer League, 7'2", he can hit some threes. His passing is fantastic. I don't know. The skill set's pretty good. What did you think of? Have you saw anything of him when you were there? You were there in Vegas. Did you watch anything of that?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen highlights. So he's showing like a lot of promises, and you know, I like the way that the Blazers Summer League coaching staff is like letting him showcase his skill set. You know, and which is very important in something like that. You know, it's like, you know, he's getting the in-game reps to mess up and do stuff now. But no, he looks he looks very promising for the Blazers. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and maybe because I did see one fan tweet, or no, actually one like insider, not even a fan. It was an insider tweet. It just took Dame 3 games to watch Young, and he wanted back. But anyway, I mean, we were totally shocked here in the room here when they picked him. We're like, who is this guy? And you do some research, and apparently several teams were on the hook to get him around that time. And now you're just like, wow. And the funniest thing the other day, I was watching like the Knicks and Nets play, just channel flipping, and the announcers were like, yeah, someone just walked by with a Hansen jersey, with a Young jersey. And they said, the first one I've seen. And you're like, if that's the play you're getting. And they talked about him on this other game as a 20-year-old rookie. 7'2", who likes PlayStation 5. So, anywho.
That name just reminds me of the band from the 90s, the boy band. Hansen.
Ah, Mbop.
Yeah, I was trying to remember.
Well, that might be the highlight.
There you go.
You know, that would be my call if I was calling the games for him.
Yeah.
That's what it would be.
There goes Hansen.
And that's why you have me here, Sugar. That's why you have me call the games for stuff like that.
That's right.
So why don't we get to talking TBL? It is that time. We were pumping up the Mexico tourney last time we talked. You've been there. The Volcanoes did well again. Talk about that experience.
Yes, man. This one was pretty great. You know, I mean, like I said, we've been there a few times already. In the Tijuana Invitational, this one was in Caborca, Sonora, Mexico. So that's like Arizona border. And man, this one was the best Mexico event there, because this time they had the fan element there, so that gym was packed. So it felt like an overseas type atmosphere, and like the fans was going crazy. That gym was hot, and you know, the players loved it, and you know, and it was great for those guys too, because five guys that we had on that roster, that was their first time ever being out of the country. So like, we brought a lot of youth out there, and mm-hmm. you know, even Denzel Banks, who played with us this past year, like that was his first time out of the country, man, and he really enjoyed the experience there.
That's great. That's you know, because you're not sure with some of the younger players when they get out to foreign soil,
yeah.
you know, what it's like. Yep. And I love talking to the Volcanoes the next year when several of them have played overseas and some of their yes. experiences. Mm-hmm. And some are really good and some are not so good.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you run into that, unfortunately.
A luck of the draw, right?
Yeah.
Who's yeah. running the teams and
yeah, and
that sort of thing.
Yep. And, you know, like I said, you know, on Denzel Banks, he got a deal out of that, you know, from playing in the tournament. He's going to the team in Puerto Vallarta, which is a great city down there. And, yeah, they're very excited to have him there. And, nice. You know, Darius Gary got an offer from the Cabo team as well down there. So,
nice.
You know, so, yeah, they helped us win the little cup down there. But, you know, my championship every time I go down there is guys getting offers. So that's like the biggest thing with mm-hmm. me.
Yeah, we know that is your number one thing.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what your passion is.
And what I learned down there too is the camaraderie of the relationships, of how much closer, tight knit you get when you get out of the country
yeah.
and bonding with each other. Those are like memories that those guys, like I can only share from my personal experience when you invited me down there. It's an experience that I'll cherish and I'll never forget for the rest of my life. And I'll always be grateful and thank you for that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad you was able to do that too. So, yeah.
All right. So, Now there's a couple more names to mention. Former Volcanoes, what they're doing now, because we've talked about how the Vancouver Volcanoes, many players go on to other things in their career. They keep furthering along their path. Talk to me, Curtis, about Gary Chavichian.
Man, to me, you know, and I hate saying stuff like this, but, man, he's probably the most professional Volcano that's ever come through our program, man. Like, the way he approaches the game. Matter of fact, forget the game, just practice. The way he approaches just the game himself and working on that jump shot, even though he's one of the better shooters in the world, he still works on that shot, man. And it's good to see him get that shot with the Milwaukee Bucks and
in the
summer league right okay. now. You know, and he had a breakout game against the Dallas Mavericks too, where he scored 14 points and he was able to display his own great shooting. So I'm just hoping, you know, if it's not Milwaukee, that one of those teams, you know, be looking for a shooter and really give him a shot.
Okay. Yeah, he was with the Volcanoes 2 years ago. The Armenian sniper came in at a kind of helped us finish the season on a better note, which was really nice for us. Jason Richardson, Jalen Richardson, probably the most well-known Volcano of the bunch of this since we did the reboot.
Yes.
Back in 2021. So talk about what's going on with him these days.
Man, so he's out there playing in Vietnam. Actually, he's playing out there with Michael Jenkins, who was on the Great Falls Electric. With, you know, and the inside thing, we almost got him here this season too. So, but yeah, so he's out there playing with Jay Rich, man. And man, I tell you this, man, Jay Rich is having an awesome year there, and he's flirting with a triple double like every game. And you know, they're winning out there, and you know, I can't wait to see what's next for him.
Yeah, he was Jay Rich. It was so fun to have him back this last season, if only for some of it, you know. Yeah. But he was waiting for the right offer. He had one from Canada, and he just didn't like it.
Yep.
So he stayed around and found one he did like, and that was the Vietnam one, right?
Yes.
He was, and that's the thing. We don't even know. That's the fun thing about TBL. You show up to the facility, the gym, and Curtis comes over. Well, so-and-so's gone. And yeah. so-and-so was gone.
Yeah.
That's kind of the fun thing about it. We're like, okay, let's talk about somebody else in our pregame now.
We picked up this guy, and this guy's like, oh, yes, I know this guy.
Yeah, exactly. Or who's that? We get our phones out.
If you go out there, you can see all kinds of highlights of what Jay Rich is doing out there in the VBA, the Vietnam Basketball League, playing for the Nha Trang Dolphins, which is a great name for a team out there. And it's such dynamic plays you're seeing. He's upped his game quite a bit, and he had a great start to our season with the Volcanoes.
Totally. And speaking of the Volcanoes, let's let the viewers know, Curtis, what does a team market owner do in the off season when it comes to setting the franchise up for the next season?
Man, last year I didn't really get much of an off season just because of that my wife's illness and stuff like that. She had, she had the surgery and everything, so I was a stay at home dad. But
she's good now though.
Yeah, she's great now. Okay. So I'm able to get out and do some of this stuff. So, we're looking for more partnerships and, some interns to come in and so we can have more body presence during our game operations.
You've touched a lot of bases too with people. You've touched bases with people as well.
Yes. And then, the recruiting process as far as like bringing along the team, which is pretty good. I can't wait until next season. Like, we're going to be so much better on the floor next season, and I really can't wait for it.
Oh yeah, you've been when I've talked to you in this off season, you have said every time, I am going for the whole thing.
Yes,
that simple.
And I thought you had a really underrated season coaching this year for all the changes. It was some of the best work you'd ever done with so much changes throughout the year too.
So thank you for bringing them out. Having the effort still there, it was very entertaining to watch.
Yes, man. Thank you guys, man. And, like I said, I thank all of you guys right here for, helping us grow. Because, it takes a village. Without you guys, we wouldn't have a brand. We wouldn't have production and everything like that. So I thank you guys for believing in me and stuff.
Thank you,
Curtis. And I think that permeates in throughout this entire area what we have going on. You can go down to the Salem Capitals and what they accomplish on a yearly basis, and then the TBL Pacific Northwest has expanded east as well.
We're ready for Macy's squad.
We've got the Willamette Valley Jaguars, who seem like they're up and coming as a franchise between their owner, their players, their coach, the way they do handle things, and then the new franchise going in right up north of us, the Cowlitz.
You can come see me next Wednesday at the Cowlitz County Fair. We got a booth and logo, just kind of doing like a little ticket type stuff.
Is it
just
a kissing
trying to
get
booth? Our word out. Not with me, but maybe somebody else.
So Cowlitz County Fair, when is that?
So that is Wednesday at noon, and it lasts till 11 o'clock at night, and it's going on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So if you want to come say hi, I'll be there Wednesday. I'll be on vacation the other days, but you can come meet Brandon and some of the crew. Just trying to get our name out there and people to try to get excited.
Okay, and then Curtis, next up for the Volcanoes tournament coming?
So we'll be in Mexico again in Hermosillo. That will be from August 21st through the 25th. So more guys have an opportunity to, play in front of some of these teams in Mexico and hopefully latch on and get an opportunity.
Because scouts are there from all the squads.
Yes.
The pro leagues in Mexico, several of them.
Yes. And I wanted to get a little quick spoiler alert because I know you guys probably going to get excited about this. So we're going to have more interconference games next year. So Potawatomi will be coming out here. We'll be playing Potawatomi Fire next season.
Saucy.
One of these games. So,
they're
going to take a West Coast trip. So.
And that's the three-time defending TBL champs.
That's right. Several Volcanoes have played for them, and then us, and back to them. And
That'd be all really that price of admission for sure.
Oh, yeah. Definitely to see the brand that's being played
well, just
out
to
there.
Test where you got where yeah. volcanoes are out as well.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. And then Curtis, Nike basketball camps. Let's talk about them.
Yes, it's going on this week. So I haven't been there this week just because my son D'Angelo is sick. So I've been, you know, stay-at-home dad with that. But you know, I've been getting feedback about it every day. So yeah, the Nike basketball clinics hosted by U.S. Sports Camps. So yeah, Calvin Hampton and Porter Troop, they've been manning the camps there along with Darius Gary and the Evergreen women's coaching staff. So they've been helping out with that, and then we're right back at it not next week but the following week on July 28th through August 1st.
Okay, that's great, and great coaching there, Coach Calvin Hampton. The Standing Hampton from Oregon State, Porter Troop, played at University of Portland, played in Romania for like 18 years. Yep. So, yeah, great guys, great teachers, Evergreen Women's staff, fantastic. Yes. So thank you so much for coming out, Curtis. Appreciate it. We'll try to hit you up this summer as it goes along. And thank you for, you know, all the availability and giving us kind of a peek behind the door.
Yes, man. And again, thank you guys for inviting me, man. I really appreciate you guys.
We love you. And we hope Absolutely. To get you on more as we do more of these episodes to talk more about things about TBL yeah. and about basketball and sports in general yeah. in yeah. this area, which is exactly. just a big upcoming thing. So exactly. Thank you so much,
Coach. Sugar Hill.
Thank you. Sugar Hill.
Thank you, Sugar.
All right. And things will be equally as sweet on the other side of the break. We'll be right back.
Did you know that you can schedule an appointment or ask Planned Parenthood questions by phone, chat, text, or in person? At Planned Parenthood Columbia Willamette, their health center locations are ready when you are. Visit ppcw.org to book an appointment.
And we're back on KXRW Sports Talk from the Couve. As always, sending it right back to our leader and host, Wireless Mike Koreski.
Thank you very much. Yes, yes. That helps me out. Okay, I'm done now. Okay, 99.9 FM KXRW, thanks for coming back to us. We've heard some positive comments from the first episode. Mainly it's by our loved ones and family and friends, but you know, someone got on Reddit. Someone did forward that to me. Seriously, someone said the show on Reddit. If you want a sports show that's not, what was it? Crappy hot takes and blowhard announcers. This is the one.
Hey, well, I'll take it.
So no pressure to our new guys on the panel. None at all. So back with us from last week, it's Patrick McLaughlin.
Hello.
Thank you very much. He is primed and ready. You can tell.
I am.
And then we got more special guests tonight. We have Vancouver's own Rip Rex, the wrestling guy. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. I'm love to be here. This is awesome. This is a cool opportunity.
Fantastic. And it's fun to be talking some New York sports with you.
Oh, absolutely.
Everything's New York.
Oh, yes. Knicks, Mets, Giants, Rangers, reluctantly.
No Spankies, though, right?
No Spankies.
Thank you very much.
No Spankies. Not even a little bit. My best friend who I grew up with, who's no longer with us, he was always a Yankees fan, and it was always just constant back and forth. Just he's got all these reasons why the Yankees are good. I've got all these reasons why we're gonna be good. It's a good time.
And it keeps on going. And also next to him, Ryan the Man in Black, his agent, Rex's agent. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fabulous this evening.
Right
Thank
on.
You guys so much for having me in.
Oh, you bet. We'll get to know you guys a little more on the next segment, but yeah, you guys want to talk some baseball, and we're always down with it. So we'll start off here, though. Mr. Crockett and I were talking about the MLB draft a couple weeks ago, and the local guys, we're trying to always, the local people, try to give them some spotlights. And you want to run down a couple guys who were picked in the draft early? I can start.
Absolutely. We got right off the bat there at number 7 going to the Miami Marlins. Iva Arquette from Oregon State, originally, as we saw, play up with the Washington Huskies to start his college career and then moving on down to Oregon State. Now he's going to be taking his talents to South Beach.
There you go. And then you said he was a former Wenatchee Apple Sox
player. Yeah, in the West Coast League that the Portland Pickles and Ridgefield Raptors also play.
I've wrestled at the Pickles Stadium, actually.
Down at Walker.
Fun little job. Yeah.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Was the pickle
was
there?
Was it just part of a wrestling thing, or was it a combo between the?
So
wrestling?
They did like a Portland wrestling night, and the pickle was running around dressed like Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Dylan T. Pickles,
Dylan is a G. I'll be scrolling through. I know a lot of comics here locally, and I'll be scrolling through their Instagram, and Dylan will pop up randomly on their Instagram.
Well, it's that smile.
He's all over the place.
It's the smiling pickle.
But yeah, they probably have it recorded somewhere, but we did the where we spun around on the bat,
and we had to do a dizzy bat. Okay,
and I fell so hard. There was this like big implant on the infield.
Oh, no.
It was really funny. Looked like I slid into third.
Ooh. And also, local guys, we're going to Tyler Bremner. He was number two by the Angels.
Yeah, he popped up to number two. It's kind of a surprise pick by the Angels.
Yeah.
He was also a member of the West Coast League out of the Corvallis Knights franchise. He had played there before. And so that was a big get for them. He played with, Cal State Fullerton?
I think so, yeah. He was California. And
number two pick.
And then Xavier Nayans from Mount Vernon High School. They had him listed as a shortstop, but I always thought he was a third baseman. But
well, I think that's what a lot of teams. It was funny when we were watching the draft. Pretty much every guy up until the number 16 pick was either a pitcher or a high school shortstop.
Mm-hmm.
And that was where they were putting a lot of their focus.
Those are the spots.
Yeah, well, shortstops are so plug and play these days. I mean, you see shortstops can transition the easiest. You're seeing it right now with O'Neill Cruz making that transition to center field with the Pirates.
That's truth. So the good news was Nayans, a local guy, was drafted. The bad news, it was by the Astros at number 21.
And the Mariners, and we'll get to talk a lot about the Mariners. They had quite
of
the
course.
Week. There was a lot of smoke around them trying to get him with that comp round pick that the Mariners had, 35. Yeah. And it just seems like Houston said, no, none of that. You know, we're not going to wait around and jumped in and grabbed him. And he's getting a lot of publicity as a guy who might move quickly through their system.
And the last draft note I have for you, the Mariners' second pick at number 35, the catcher from North Carolina, and Tyler Stevenson.
Luke Stevenson.
And the funny thing about this one was he pre-made and froze 1,500 PBJs last year for his season.
Preseason. Now
his season usually eats like two a game or something.
He eats
two or three a game.
He does share with his teammates. So let's be clear. You know, his teammates all vouch for this being an amazing thing. I have never thought of freezing.
Why would you pre-made?
I mean, but you know, Uncrustables. I mean, okay. I'm good with a pre-made, and I might start giving that a chance. We'll see what he does as he progresses in his Mariners career.
The bites, and the most funny thing was the first thing he said.
No, he
the
just,
first thing he tweeted was, "I hope Seattle has good bread."
we will help you out. We've got your bread, your peanut butter, and your jelly all taken care of.
All these fancy jams, he's gonna be like in heaven.
Yeah.
Well, my next question is like, does he keep the sandwiches on him during the game? Like, is it a little giant situation where it's like in his hat? Like,
and do they stay frozen?
Like the kid from Little Giants, he had it in his helmet, you know.
Yes, and then like by the third inning, it's a little thought out. It's perfect.
Oh yes, exactly. It's a perfect
Just pretty funny. Even watch the videos. He just brings them out and unwraps them and just starts
up
going
on the front step of the dugout, just chowing down on a PB&J. I'm like, whatever makes you hit dingers, dude. Yeah, let's go.
And speaking of dingers, let's go to our resident dinger guy, Cal Raleigh, winner of the Home Run Derby. Did everyone watch
the Home Run Derby?
Yes.
Connor.
I did not get to catch the Home Run Derby, but I did catch the highlights.
Okay.
You got to say, Kyle's got a very unfortunate nickname.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunate?
I don't know how I feel about
being called the Big Dumper. Like,
he loves it.
We love it because of his backside.
Oh, I know. I know. And he's a catcher.
I got a funny story for that. I went to make my parents' for my dad's birthday, I made both my mom and my dad personalized shirts. This was last year. And they allowed me to put dumper on the back of a shirt. They would not let me put big dumper on the back of the shirt.
There's a line there.
They drew the line.
Perfect.
Pops is like, nope, that's not going
to
fly.
Of course, Cal Raleigh's number is 29, and I got to put that on there for my mom, who, of course, is always 29.
Always 29. It just worked out perfectly.
Hey,
that's awesome. Mine, too. It must be like a mom thing. She keeps getting younger, actually.
But size
every
matters.
Birthday, I have to like take a candle off. It was
big week for Cal Raleigh.
Big week. Right. Fantastic job in the home run derby. He got into the second round by 0.08 centimeters.
0.08 feet.
Feet.
0.08 okay. feet. 0.08 which is like, feet. It's still that's still inches. I mean that's still inches as far as.
But here's you know, the here's so the thing. The computers can be a game of inches, the configure the computers yeah. can figure that out, but they still have horrible umpires.
Isn't it crazy the attention to detail they have? They're like, oh, let me just ignore this blatant obvious problem, but we can make sure we got the home run derby covered.
You mentioned that, but that's another Cal Raleigh point. During the game itself at the All-Star game, he was the first player to try the ABS challenge system, and you know he got that overturned right away, and he showed that over the spring training how good he is at that, and that's another thing that we can count on him to be good at as we go into these future years, and hopefully by next season they can get that going and I think that's just a big change. You watch some of the minor league games, and we've watched quite a few of that, Mike and I, and it works great.
It does.
And it only takes under 5 to 10 seconds to have a review on it.
Right.
Because they pull it up right there. Mm-hmm. And that's not a bad thing. So the All-Star game itself was really good. And at the end, it ended up being a tie. The American League came back from 6-1 and tied it up in the ninth. And then for the first time ever, it was a swing off. The first time ever, they made the rule last year, I guess.
Yeah, they made it's kind of like coming out of COVID era, you know, not wanting to have teams to go in excessive extra innings. And so we haven't gotten into this situation where we've needed it. But and here the interesting thing is, though, that they really didn't explain that was what was going to happen. It's
we just kind of got to it
and just got to do it. Oh, this is a thing. We're doing this. Yeah. It's like, let's go. It's like kind of like when the Avengers were doing their Civil War thing.
Yes.
We're really doing this, right?
Yeah,
like, we are really doing this. And it's like, let's just have three guys up for each team and go at it. I think the rule was going to end up, and they did not explain this, so even I'm just seeing what I saw, that the players themselves, you couldn't be a starter.
Right.
They had to be currently in the game
or you haven't played yet.
And the starting team. That's why you weren't going to have – I mean, because obviously you'd put Cal Raleigh and Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge up there. And that's where I'm like, why? Why is this guy from Tampa Bay taking
these
hats?
Why they made that role, though? Because most of them were out of the building.
And
most
were Orange
Street. Judge was gone.
You weren't going to have, Shohei Ohtani. I know he's Superman, but he's not, getting in the phone booth and just
walking. You don't want a guy, who's been sitting for a couple of hours coming in there and all of a sudden try to grip it and rip it.
No, you're going to pull something.
It made for some exciting watching. We had Randy Orton and Maria from the Seattle Mariners get in there, get one over the fence, which was great. It put the American League in a great spot. Oh, so you thought, until one of my favorite players of all time, from when I was out in Chicago with the Chicago Cubs, Kyle Schwarber. It's really good. Nationally had him in their back pocket. After that, they would have had Pete Alonso, but no, Schwarb's like it. A few Schwarb bombs and we're done.
It was nice to see him get a big moment like that.
And, he deserves it. Talk about a guy who deserves it.
One of the craziest stat lines people will look back on in 20, 30 years will be him winning the MVP going 0-2.
Definitely.
Right. Yep. It's like, wait, how did that happen? He won the MVP and he didn't get a hit? Hey. What defensive gem of a play did he make?
He was a DH? What?
Oh, yeah, this is crazy.
He dressed in the Portland Pickles
costume. Kyle Schwarber from that.
Before the game.
Oh,
that's
there
why.
You go. There
that's
you go.
The MVP
that's
part
I
of it.
I love that. I love
he
that.
He was a smiling Dylan. So,
speaking of the Portland Pickles,
go for it. Pickle news.
We have a little bit of Portland Pickles news. We have Just coming out this last week, over the weekend, the Portland Pickles manager announced that this is going to be his last season as the Portland Pickles manager. He've already this season wrapped up the first half playoff spot from their division, so he'll get to go on and do the playoffs this last time. They're, of course, the defending West Coast League champions. Yep. They won the division for the first time in their history last season, and then went on to go through the playoffs and win their championship. But in he's been with the organization since 2016 and took over, retook over head coaching duties in 2021 and hasn't had a losing season once. They haven't, 2017 was the other time that they had the first half playoff spot, but this last season was the first time they had actually progressed through the playoffs and then, of course, won it all. A really big, a lot of success that he had. He's been coaching since 1983.
Wow.
1983, and he also coaches at the Clark College. And that's the other place that he's been coaching for a while, nice. And he's just looking forward to retirement.
We'll see if they get that back to back.
Yeah, and they're in good shape. Yeah, he said he only came back this year because they won last year, and then he said this was a good time to announce it after wrapping up that first half and getting to the playoffs and saying like, okay, now I'll have a nice way to I know what's going to happen this season and go on from there. And good job and. On his part, and we wish him all the luck in the future with his retirement. He does not sound like a guy who really knows what to do with his retirement. But he said he's going to do some fly fishing out in Montana, which I think that's a quality path, my friend.
Those players are lucky because they're going to get all that last little bit of tutelage out of him before he walks away. So they're really going to be able to soak that up. So I think it's kind of cool that they know going into the final half of the season that this is their last ride, and they'll be able to get a lot of that extra coaching in because they know he's walking away.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that right, and that goes like also with the ownership group there. They've been talking a lot about how what he's meant to them and how's it allowed a lot of these players to progress and develop into people that would get drafted and move on into the college ranks and the pros as well.
Okay, and finishing up the segment here. We'll plug all these local teams, the Pickles, the Ridgefield Raptors, Hillsboro Hops. If you're going up north, Tacoma Rainiers, Everett Aqua Sox. Going further down south, who are the Marion Berries again?
They're in the Salem. Salem. Marion Berries for the West Coast League, also the Bend Elks. Marion Berries. They're down there. You mentioned the Everett Aqua Sox. Seems like every time we mention them, they have another player winning Player of the Week coming out of last week. What is your name for their catcher?
Batista? On the Aqua Sox?
Yeah. Is it Freddy? Freddy Batista?
Yeah. What was my name for him?
I don't know. I thought it was a great way to pronounce it. But Freddy Batista. Fruity? That's right. It's right.
It's spelled F-R-E-U-D-Y.
Root and Tootie, fresh and fruity, Batista.
So it wasn't like I was trying to Batista make last fun week, of it.
Had, no, of course not. We're making fun of it. He's having quite the year this year for the Everett Aqua Sox. He hit .389 last week in 5 games. And has a .303 batting average over this season. He's if he can get that push up to AA, he can get himself on a good path. And it's now the seventh different Everett Aqua Sox player in the to this point who has won the Player of the Week in the Northwest League. And
juggernaut,
right? They're a juggernaut. And as you'll see, this team is heading to the playoffs. They also won their first half.
That's right. And they are coming back to Hillsboro to play the Hops.
Yeah, they're playing Hillsboro now.
Week of August, correct. Right?
They're playing Hillsboro right now up in Everett for this week. They'll start up here and they'll play throughout this weekend and then into the next.
And then I think it was August 17th through 23rd. Yep. And they'll be back at Hillsboro. 6 games.
The Mariners farm system is just stacked. It's going to be fun to see this young team develop over the next couple years.
Yeah, and I will think they'll probably trade a couple of them off here at the deadline.
Oh, definitely.
Push now. But there's several guys still left.
Right, and not only on top of the guys that you mentioned earlier, Luke Stevenson coming in as their comp round B pick, but also they got that number three pick. They got Cade Anderson to come
He's
in.
He's a stud.
As and we thank you, the Angels. Lefty. Thank you. You know, yeah. Thank you, Washington Nationals.
He was supposed to be the number one.
Number one overall pick. Yeah. Fell to the Mariners. They not only did they get him at their number three pick, they got him for a sweetheart of a deal, which allowed them to draft a couple other players that are looking to be high on their rankings coming. You know, and it could make a difference on who they have to trade coming into this. This trade deadline coming up at the end of this month.
Yeah, we'll have more to talk about that on the next episode. So when we come back, what people have been kind of waiting for, the wrestling talk. And we got some poker talk, too. So we'll be right back.
KXRW is supported by Morrell Inc. Print and Marketing. Since 1993, Morrell Inc. has offered high-quality, creative, and innovative solutions from their women-owned, union-staff, state-of-the-art print shop. Find them at morellink.com.
And we're back on KXRW Sports Talk from the Couve. James L. Crockett here with you. We've got some big news coming up this week from the poker world. The World Series of Poker main event just concluded. So the 2025 World Series of Poker main event ended, and Michael Mizrachi, the grinder, won $10 million in the first place prize. This after already winning his fourth Poker Players Championship, which is one of the most prestigious events already in all of poker, which is a $50,000 buy-in. And he won that earlier for $1.3 million. So he had himself a heck of a summer. It was really entertaining to watch. Two other notes from that final table. We had the highest play finish from a woman poker player, and that's Leo Margetz out of Spain. She picked up $1.5 million for finishing seventh, and it had been 35 years since a woman had made the final table of the World Series of Poker main event. And then also, from just to keep that at the local, this is what stood out to me. John Wozniak from North Bend, Washington, finished second place, so he finished runner-up to Mizrachi.
In the whole thing.
In the whole thing, pocketing a cool $6 million for finishing second place. He did it the whole time wearing a snazzy blue Mariners cap, and also he had his rail, which is what they call the people that come down to support you as you're playing this final table. His people on the rail there had one of the big tridents from the Mariners. So every time he'd win a big pot or have a big event or whatever, they'd be raising the trident there for him. So kudos to him for doing that. Poker's still hanging on here in the Pacific Northwest, especially around the Portland area. There's a number of quality players that have come from here, and good to see someone else picking that up, maybe bringing a little more loft to the poker community here, and bring a little more, hopefully have many more future summers to go at that level. So good job, John Wozniak from North Bend, Washington.
And hashtag money, but I... So
hashtag send me a couple there. Yeah, let's talk.
Hashtag talk. Where's mine?
I have a radio station that maybe you can contribute to.
There we go. So Patrick, we're gonna let you commandeer this segment a little bit as we get to know the Mr. Rip Rex and Ryan, the man in black as well.
Go for it. Well, this weekend was arguably the biggest wrestling weekend of the year. Saturday night's main event on Saturday featured the retirement match of Goldberg in a world title match against Gunther. Goldberg was not victorious in that, but Goldberg was not victorious in that, but I think we can all say he had a victorious career. And Sunday night, AEW had their WrestleMania equivalent event with Hangman Adam Page winning the AEW World Championship against Jon Moxley.
Doing some cowboy stuff.
Well, and Moxley brought the fork in, but it hurt him.
And then the same night was WWE's all-women's pay-per-view Evolution, with Naomi cashing in the Money in the Bank and becoming the world's women's champion. But the biggest event of this weekend happened right here in Vancouver, at Georgie's Garage and Grill, the second barroom brawl by Roundtable Pro Wrestling, featuring a street fight main event, featuring Rip Rex and Brian Brooks, And the man victorious in that match, Rip Rex, is here with us.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. I'm reaping the benefits of winning that series.
Yeah, you're climbing up the ladder, man.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me here. I'm really appreciative that I get to have my manager here too. It's a big deal for both of us.
I told you I deliver on those perks. This is one of them. An agent always does his job. The fine print.
You win it, Georgie's. You go right to the KXRW studios to hang out with the big show.
You got Pepsi. You got water. Oh yeah.
I would not want to have to negotiate with Ryan Black. So I mean, more power to you guys.
I'm glad we got him. We got you in now. Maybe in the future it might be a little harder to get you on the show. Huh?
That's right. Remember the little people.
Rip. Were you born and raised here in Vancouver?
Yes. I born and raised here. Grew up just outside of Battleground, Washington. I went to Heritage High School here in Vancouver.
Okay.
Nice.
Graduated in 2011. So, you know, you guys can do the math. I'm not going to tell you how old I am.
Maybe you're a child prodigy. We don't know.
I've been here since... You know, the small town feel and the Hazeldale parades and all of the good times, all the way to, well, what Vancouver's become now. It's grown. It's massive. It's got it's got a radio station. It didn't have a radio station before. So, I mean, come on.
It's got wrestling.
Yeah. It's got wrestling. It's got pro wrestling. It's got Roundtable Pro Wrestling.
That's semi-pro basketball.
We were talking a little bit before the break. Tell us a little bit about the origins of your name.
Oh, yes, of course. So Rip, you know, you got Rip Rogers, you got Rip Oliver, you got Rip Hamilton, you know. Yes. Come on, I got to throw some basketball in there. All of those dudes are just grinders. They were guys that had a lot of naysayers. They had a lot of people tell them they couldn't do this, they couldn't do that, they couldn't win a basketball championship, they couldn't win a wrestling championship. All of them proved them wrong. They found their way up just like I do. And with the last name Rex, that one's a little more personal. My great grandfather, his first name was Rex. My grandmother, her name was Rexanne. And a funny story, I was meant to be like my real name was meant to be Rex as well. and my father, who conveniently wasn't all that involved in my life except for this situation for some reason, but decided that he did not want to name me Rex. And my great grandfather even offered him like an inheritance. It was like $500, like $5,000. Sorry, $5,000 to name me Rex. And he's like, no.
That's crazy.
He's like, bro, what? Yeah, it's like, what?
That's wild.
Who gave him this executive decision? So
wow.
I'm getting it all back. I'm getting it all back with,
there
with
you
this.
Go.
So
With interest.
Absolutely.
Always.
Absolutely.
In the contract.
So I saw you years ago, about 3 years ago, I saw you wrestle for Blue Collar Wrestling when it was still out of St. John's. Do you want to share a little bit kind of your history, how you got into pro wrestling and kind of some...
Yeah, absolutely. So, so I played some college football. I bounced around from different semi-pro teams, things like that. Just kind of like was still holding on to football for as long as I possibly could. And then, I did some research cause I was always a pro wrestling fan. I grew up through the Attitude Era. I grew up through the Ruthless Aggression Era. I got to see the height of guys like Stone Cold and The Rock, as well as getting to see the height of guys like John Cena, you know,
right.
Edge, you know, guys really coming to their own. Randy Orton, yep. Yes, absolutely. Who was on the Tonight Show with Jelly Roll? Did you guys see all that? That was kind of cool.
Drew McIntyre.
With the Tootsie Roll comment?
Yeah. But I found DOA Pro Wrestling, and I was training there for a little bit. They had their own little training center. Jason Sullivan was there, Dr. Cleaver, Derek Drexel, who everybody who loves hardcore wrestling knows who Drexel is. Those guys were there originally teaching and learning, and then that closed and I found Blue Collar Wrestling. But even way before that, before like before I was even leaving to go to college or anything like that, Ryan and I, who Ryan went to high school with me, we grew up together. We had a pipe dream. We had this idea that we wanted to go wrestle for a company, WCWC, down in Salem, mm-hmm. back when they were on TV. Mm-hmm. we got in contact with them that they were running a show. We got them to say yes to letting us come down and help out, help build the ring, do things like that, kind of get a way in. Mm-hmm. Us being young kids, that was like, we didn't drive. We were in Vancouver. It was like the furthest we've ever driven, having to drive down to Salem. So we didn't anticipate for things like traffic, needing gas, things right. like that. So we got stuck in traffic for
a long time. I mean, it was hours. It was crazy.
Are we talking in and out level traffic? Is that what we're talking
like,
about?
Like, no, like yeah. dead stop. Dead stop, like, you know, everybody's heading out on a Saturday yeah. to watch college football. But we Salem, get a dead man. Stop, and yeah. then we call to check in and let them know that we're going to be late. Come to find out, there's not an event happening, and nobody let us know.
They canceled.
So we were stuck driving to Salem for no reason.
We were in traffic, and we're like, oh, I guess
that's that's kind of where things started. That's yeah. where the dream began.
We got out of traffic just to get back into traffic and head back home.
Yeah, Ryan, that's really interesting is seeing the start of what's going on, and like you, that partnership that you guys have had. You kind of had a plan for RIP from the very start. So even if that particular thing didn't work out, mm-hmm. it kind of led to something maybe in the future.
Always. You always got, especially in wrestling, you on the lower levels, you always have to keep your ears open, make sure that you can find different alternatives in case something doesn't work out somewhere. You're ready to transition, and it keeps you on your toes. And that's one thing that I've learned. You know, we officially started this gimmick like 2 years ago, year and a half ago. So it's been really fun to finally get, like, in the trenches, be able to walk out to the ring with him. I joined commentary for the main event last week, so it's been a lot of fun. I love being behind the mic, so between that and this week, it's been a treat for me.
Awesome.
I got a question. This one might be more for the man in black, since you are the agent. So always the ultimate goal as a pro wrestler who wants to be one, you want to be world champion. What will it take for RIP Rex to get that opportunity to get that title?
I think we're on the right track right now. You know, there's a world championship tournament coming up for pro Roundtable Pro Wrestling. The first round, I believe, will be taking place over the first 2-day event. So it'll be August 2nd and August 3rd for Roundtable's next show down at George's Bar and Grill. So, you know, who knows? That world title opportunity might be in the future. And if I have anything to say about it, I will always keep knocking on the door to try to get this man a title shot.
Yes, yes. It would be an amazing feeling to win my first ever title in general here in Vancouver in front of, you know, my family, my friends, people that got to see me, and whether it was in Portland at BCW or driving all the way up into Cowlitz to see me at IPW. There's a lot of people that really, really care and really have invested in Rex in general, before I was Rip Rex even, and that want to see this happen. And if I get that opportunity, the roof's going to tear off. It's going to explode.
And IPW, that's Inclusion Pro Wrestling out of Kelso, correct?
Yes.
And it blows me away. Like, so Portland Wrestling closed down in 1993. How many years ago has that been?
Well, I was born in 93, so that, yeah, 32 years.
32 years. There's been about...
Oh, you let the age out, man. You weren't supposed to do that.
There's been about as many, if not more, promotions that have come and gone in the Pacific Northwest since that time. Right now, there is a hot... I mean, Roundtable just had their second event. You mentioned Inclusion. I think there's another one that opened up in Longview.
Yeah, Longview.
That... Your Preston Paul.
Paul Preston's a
Paul
part
Preston.
Of that. Yep, absolutely.
Janice Jett said she Janice was going Jett. Up to yep. wrestle there
yeah.
too.
Prestige Wrestling and Blue Collar is back.
Dude, Prestige ran yeah. in a, so in what's a full up on that? Like they were where the Timbers play, right?
They were at Viking Stadium.
Oh, we were Portland State. Mm-hmm. Portland State. Oh, that's a stadium.
Yeah,
that's
it's
crazy.
Arena awesome. Show. That also happened this weekend, but. All right, you know, so I want to bring up I wanted to talk more about Blue Collar than them. But since they came up, it's just, I mean, the whole ecosystem of pro wrestling, especially here in the Pacific Northwest, is just, it's bigger than I've ever seen it. I'm a lifelong wrestling fan. You know, I grew up with my dad always. I watched WWE and he'd say, this is nothing like Portland wrestling. And it's just, it's so cool to me as a lifelong wrestling fan and to have that with my dad to see that it's thriving here, like right in our backyard. Vancouver, Washington has its own
question. Pro wrestling promotion. I thought Roundtable's, you know, establishing themselves here was just BCW basically moving over. But then BCW decided, hey, we're still here at the Eagles
Club.
Those
are two very separate entities. Yep. Yeah. Very, very separate entities.
BCW definitely going forward with sticking around at the Eagles Club again.
That seems to be the plan. Okay. I don't have a lot of contact with BCW anymore.
No worries.
But you know, more power to them to keep it alive. Yeah. That venue itself loved having wrestling, and it would always pack out. Mm-hmm. When I was a part of BCW, that place was constantly, you know, close to selling out or finding ways to fit more.
Both times I went, it was packed.
Yes.
And it's a little harder to pack Georgie's with that many people, but it's still conducive.
But we're working on it. Yeah. So a lot of opportunities for guys like Ryan and Rip to go do what they need to do.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah.
When's the next event? Patrick, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
August 3rd.
So we have a two-day event. We got August 2nd and August 3rd. And that's going to be where the title tournament kicks off. From my understanding, according to my agent here, I am a part of that first round.
Nice.
Who my opponent will be, I am not sure, but I do have a little rundown. You'll see the likes of the Grappler 4. You'll see Brian Armstrong, SP8. You'll see Christopher Crowley, who is 6'9". Come see him.
Oh, wow.
You got me, Rip Rex. You got Dirty Dick Schultz. You got the cutie Clemente Danger, and then you've got that jerk who I just beat, Brian Brooks, a part of it. So you could see a rematch. You could see us face off.
So that's the 3rd and the 4th.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Second and third.
Second and third at Georgie's Bar and Grill. When does that start?
5 o'clock.
All right. Okay.
Best of luck, guys, on that tournament.
David Mace for a quick hit on some football.
Yeah,
news.
Time for some football. Macy, you were talking. You gave me some topics. We put them in some order. Domestic abuse.
Yeah, being a big Cleveland Browns fan, we took Quinshon Judkins, the running back out of Ohio State, being a homer there, and he was going to be a big part of our offense this year, and that's a big Achilles heel for our franchise because we're already trying to figure out who this quarterback's going to be this year, and to have a good running game makes it easier for any team there, so that's a big setback for the Browns franchise this season as well.
Another and Rip, what does that make you feel when you hear about a guy coming up with domestic abuse like that? What do you want to do to that guy if you get that shot?
Play a different song, man. Like, why is it always, you know, they complain about taking hits on the field, but they will smack the crap out of their significant others. I don't understand it.
They should get in the ring with you and find out what
happens. Yeah, exactly. They should step in and find out.
And then next up here, we're moving on. TJ Watt, he got a bag.
Yeah, he just broke the record for the highest paying non-quarterback in the NFL right now, $41 million a year. So congratulations to TJ. You know, being a Browns fan, I have a lot of respect for what he's done as a body of work throughout his career. So well deserved.
He's going to have 20 sacks this year. 20 sacks for TJ.
Okay, you heard it. And then also staying in your division, Shamar Stewart.
Yeah, another thing too, like, you know, there's talk about him potentially not playing for the Bengals and maybe going back to school. According to the head coach today, there's no intentions at this time of him playing for the Aggies this year. So
They'd have to sue the NCAA to get back in. Yeah, it's like, no.
Cincinnati, you're crazy. Cincinnati, what are you doing?
Sign him.
Trey Hendrickson's out.
You can't change things in contracts like that.
Exactly.
You know, precedents are set. Yeah. And you can't just take that away from the players.
Right.
That's
right.
Like you got Trey Hendrickson, who knows what's going on there, and now you got this Schwarzer. Cincinnati, what are you doing?
Okay. So on that note, what are we doing? That's a great question too. All right. So thanks you guys for tuning in. Thank you for Rip Rex, Ryan the Man in Black. great to meet you guys.
Thank you so much. Yeah,
thanks for having that tournament.
Guys. Yeah, thank good you. Luck in thank the tourney.
You. And hope to catch you guys
we'll,
at the show.
The future we'll be endeavors.
There, and we'll keep everyone informed of how that goes and with the results. So,
and Patrick, thank you so much
thanks
again.
Thanks for having me.
Of thanks, course. Guys.
Leading us into the world of the wrestling. And also, Connor, thanks much as always. You keep us from crashing into the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And David Cannon Mace, we got James Sonny Crockett, and I'm the wireless one, Mike Koreski. Thanks, you guys, and we'll see you soon. KXRW 99.9.
Sports talk from the Coop.
Adios, KXRW listeners.